أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, this time we'd like to review the etiquettes of our visit to the masjid for Salatul Jum'ah. First off, inshallah, if you have a pager, a device that may alarm, now would be the time to turn it off or silence it so that it does not alarm during the salah and disturb the salah. Please be reminded that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, "Wa aqimu salati li dhikri," and establish the salah for my remembrance. And with regards to the remembrance, He says, "Wa la tulhilkum amwalukum wa la auladukum an dhikrillah." So do not let your wealth nor your children distract you from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are commandments from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let us not diminish the value of our salah by a ringtone. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, also, inshallah ta'ala, be reminded we are in a jama'ah salah, so all of us are required to be facing the qibla at all times. The salah begins with the khutbah and ends with the taslim, or the salaming out of the salah. So please, inshallah ta'ala, be mindful of that. Focus our attention, inshallah ta'ala. I know that now we have our children with us, inshallah. So be mindful, inshallah ta'ala, use this as a teaching moment to for them to learn the manners of visiting the masjid, inshallah ta'ala. For our Muslim sisters, we'd like to remind you that all of us, both male and female, have the restriction of visiting the masjid if and only if we are able to maintain the purity of our salah simply by renewing wudu. If we are not able to renew our state of prayer by wudu, then we should not be in the masjid under any circumstances. Inshallah ta'ala, if there are any questions about this, please feel free to contact us. We will give you the dalil and all that is necessary so that you can understand the masjid should be visited only when you are able to make the salah and at no other time. Inshallah, lastly, we'd like to ask if there are any persons who are here that are not Muslim. We invite you now to introduce yourself by standing and raising your hand. If you are not a Muslim, please do not be shy, but please take this opportunity to introduce yourself by standing and raising your hand. Okay. Inshallah. Just then, with that being the law, we will begin the khutbah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله الذي نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا فمن يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو الخاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن الكريم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين صدق الله العظيم. We seek refuge with Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the rejected shaitan. With the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most gracious, the most merciful. The praise and thanks belongs to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of all the worlds. The praise and thanks belong to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Him, we seek His help, we beg Him for His forgiveness, we believe in Him and we put our trust and faith in Him and in Him alone. We seek refuge with Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evil of our souls and the evil of our deeds. For he that Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, there is none that can lead him astray. And he whom Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leaves astray, there is no one that can guide him. And I bear witness and give open testimony that there is no God except Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. He is without partners and associates. And I bear witness that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave and his messenger, the seal of all prophets, the last of all messengers. Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in the Holy Quran, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe. Take heed of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as you should take heed of Him, and do not die unless you are Muslim. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe. Take heed of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and speak the truth. He will direct you to do good righteous deeds and He will forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His messenger, then he has already achieved the greatest achievement. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, take heed of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa kunu ma'a sadiqeen, and be with those who are truthful in their words and their deeds. Surely Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks the truth. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaykum assalam.
Truly the best of words are the words of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the best of guidance is that guidance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent through His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He reminds us in His book, commanding us,
قُلْ إِنِّي أُمِرْتُ أَنْ أَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصًا لَهُ الدِّينِ
Say, surely I am commanded to worship Allah. مُخْلِصًا لَهُ الدِّينِ This, inshallah ta'ala, this portion of this ayah, مُخْلِصًا لَهُ الدِّينِ, is the subject of our khutbah. According to Umar ibn Khattab, radiallahu an, he said, I heard Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, surely the value of deeds are by intention. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّةِ Surely, the actions or the deeds are measured, rather, by the intention. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam continued, and every person will receive the reward according to what he intended. So whoever migrated for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then his migration was for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And whoever migrated for worldly benefits or for the marriage, or rather a woman to marry, then his migration was for what he migrated. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, it is critical that we understand what is meant by مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينِ. This word مُخْلِص, as we may be familiar with the term, in that it is the title of Suratul Ikhlas. خَلَّسَ يُخَلِّصُ خَالِصًا مُخْلِصًا إِخْلَاسًا This being that the best explanation is really H2O. We all understand what that is, water. And the purer it is, the better it is.
But when we say H2O, that means there's nothing else. Zero else in it. As soon as you add something else to it, it becomes not water. It's water and. Right? It's water and this or that or this or that. But as long as it's H2O, there's nothing else there, that's it. It is Khalisan, pure, unadulterated, not mixed, not even the slightest percentage of it. When you say this formula, there's nothing else there. That's it. It's water and water alone. And such is the faith when it comes to Lahuddin, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the deen. Pure for him, for who? Allah, ad-deen, the worship, the ibadah, the intention. There is no mixing whatsoever. Nothing else there, not even an atom's worth of any other agenda or reason or mixing of shirk with Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what is meant, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala codified it in Surah Al-Ikhlas. Notice that the word Ikhlas does not appear anywhere in the surah. That it in and of itself is the definition of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to understand when we worship Him. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. Surely, or rather say, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. Allah is uniquely one. اللَّهُ صَمَدْ. The one on which everything else depends to exist. لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ. He does not beget, he does not have children, and he was never born. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدْ. And you'll find nothing else like him. That is the definition of pure faith. I'm not worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with anyone else. I'm not looking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with anyone else. We are free from the charge of those who say, oh, y'all worship Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No, we do not. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ. There's nothing else like him. We worship Allah alone. واحد. وَاحِدٌ أَحَدٌ فَرْضٌ صَمَدٌ. That's it. And so this, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, the challenge for the Muslim is to apply this to his actions. That whatever we do for Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we do not let the shaitan come and pollute our intention. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as he said in Hadith Qudsi, Allah at-tayyib, Allah is the good. And this good is khalisan, pure, through and through. There's no mixing in this good. There's no hint of anything other than good. Allah at-tayyib, wala yaqbalu illa tayyib, and he does not accept anything other than that which is good. And good meaning pure through and through. And so the intention is the same. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his hadith warned us over and over and over and over again about the purity of our intention. That if we do something for Allah, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rejects our action and he says, you did it for that. He doesn't accept to be mixed with anything. He does not accept to put himself or associate himself with anything other than what he has joined himself with. And that is only in the shahada. La ilaha illallah, Muhammad al-Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Adam alayhi salam knew how critical this was. He knew what it meant to have the purity of worship when it came to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why when he saw the name of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the throne of Allah, he said, that name must be very important. This must be very important. And he asked Allah, oh Allah, forgive me in the name of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, what? Who made you say that? He said, I saw it on your throne. I knew it had to be important. When you said, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, okay, well, let me see if I can get some forgiveness. Because I have made a serious mistake. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, purity of intention. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he comes again and lets us know how much it is important for us to have purity of intention when it comes to him. Purity of faith, sound faith, and a sound understanding of this deen. He says in his book,
وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ صَلْصَالٍ مِنْ حَمَاءٍ مَسْنُونَ وَالْجَانَّ خَلَقْنَاهُ مِنْ قَبْلُ مِنْ نَارِ السَّمُومِ وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي خَالِقٌ بَشَرًا مِنْ صَلْصَالٍ مِنْ حَمَاءٍ مَسْنُونٍ فَإِذَا سَوَّيْتُهُ وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِي فَقَعُوا لَهُ سَاجِدِينَ فسجد الملائكة كلهم أجمعون إلا إبليس أبى أن يكون مع الساجدين قال يا إبليس ما لك ألا تكون مع الساجدين قال لم أكن لأسجد لبشر خلقته من صلصال من حماء مسنون.
صدق الله العظيم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he reminds us, and indeed we created man from sounding clay of altered black smooth mud. خَلَقَ إِنسَانَ. Now, listen. And remember when your Lord said to the angels, I am going to create a bashar from sounding clay of altered black smooth mud. Did not say insan here. I am going to create a bashar from sounding black, altered, smooth mud. Masnoon. This is Hama'in Masnoon. So when I have fashioned him completely, وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِ and breathe into him from the ruh, then you should prostrate yourselves to him. I want to take a moment here to remind ourselves that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he's talking to the angels in this ayah, as he said, in another ayah he says, Inni ja'ilun fil ardi khalifa, in Surah Al-Baqarah. Here he's saying, I'm going to create a bashar. These terms, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, define the purpose more so than the structure. This is something we need to understand. Up until this point, the angels had not seen before. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is defining first in naming in these terms, when we say Khalifa, something to come and to be followed up, when we say Bashar, Bushra, Bashir, Bashiran, Basharan, all meaning either a news bringer, one who brings good news, a messenger, a harbinger, like this, that he will carry a message. Whatever I create, no matter what I created him from, I'm going to create from this vessel something that I'm going to put my message in. And when I do that, make sajda. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues. So the angels, when obviously we understanding that him being finished, and we know this to be Adam alayhi salam. So the angels prostrated themselves, all of them together, illa Iblis. Except Iblis, he refused to be amongst those who prostrate. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked, Ya Iblis, what is your reason for not being amongst the prostrators, or amongst those who make prostration? You should also, again, know, a footnote if you will, that prior to this, prior to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calling out to him, his name was not Iblis. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, Ya Iblis, from that moment on, he became defined. Because that word, that name, that title, Ablasa Yublisu, Iblisan, one who is cut off from hope completely. So the angels, when they heard Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refer to him, Ya Iblisa, they all were shocked and shook. Like, who is he talking to? And again, the question right away, you know, why didn't you prostrate? So they knew, okay, well, I prostrated, so it ain't me. Alhamdulillah. Believe me, we need to understand there is deep knowledge behind these ayah and understanding and wisdom and information for our benefit. So he asked him, Ya Iblisa, oh Iblis, why did not you prostrate yourself? Iblis said, I am not of those who prostrate themselves to a bashar. Again, it's the first time he's seeing this. Only thing he knows is what he was created from. To a bashar whom you created from sounding clay of altered black smooth mud. Allah then said, then get out from here, for surely you are rajim, stoned. And surely the curse shall be upon you until the day of recompense, of paying back, of receipts. Iblis said, O my Lord, give me respite. In other words, do not destroy me until the day that they are resurrected. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, then surely you are of those who are given reprieve till the day of the time appointed. Iblis then said, O my Lord, because you have misled me, I shall indeed adorn the path of error for them on the earth, and I shall mislead them all, illa except your chosen slaves among them. Allah said, this is the way which will lead straight to me, meaning he defined, he showed, Siratul Mustaqim. Certainly, listen, you shall have no authority whatsoever. You shall have no authority over my slaves, except those who follow you of the ghaween, of those who have gone astray, of those who have left the right way. Again, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, the word that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he uses here, sultan. Now we know that this word, we in common parlance, we may say sultan. It's sultan, and it means power, ruler, might. You shall not have might over them, power. You will not be able to get those except those that follow you or that hearken to you. Illa, except those that are gawin, go astray. Many, many, many different categories that fall under this one word. But suffice it to say that they have polluted their faith. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, so the lesson from these ayah is that the shaitan has no authority over those who have purity of faith. Mukhlisan lahuddin, whose ibadah is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whose actions are only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who makes their intent pure and monitors that intention. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, now, we mentioned this as the season of treason has come, and that might serve as a reminder, this what we are about to relate to you, just how long the tree has been a tool of the shaitan against the human being. And this account of one man's struggle with his people with regards to the worship of a tree. Let this serve, inshallah ta'ala, as a cautionary tale. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, among Bani Israel, there was some in a village that had planted a tree that they had decided amongst themselves it would serve as their object of worship. They deified it. They decorated it. They made it sacred. One day, one among them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, had strengthened him in his faith. And he was not amongst them who worshipped this tree. He decided, by Allah, I'm going to put a stop to this. And living on the outskirts of the city, he woke up that morning, grabbed his axe, and made his way to the tree to chop it down for the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, Iblis he was made aware of the situation, and he decided to deal with it personally. So he transformed himself into the shape of a man and found this believer on his way to the tree. He asked him, "Where are you going with that axe?" He said, "I'm going to chop down a tree that people are worshiping instead of Allah, Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." And he kept walking. Iblis said, "No, you're not. I'm going to stop you." And he stood in his way. And the man grabbed Iblis and whooped him badly. Now, mind you, this was not Iblis's plan. When he said he was going to stop him, he meant it. All of the power that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him, which is immense, you should know. He had full intent to bring it to bear, and he did. And he could not whoop this man, couldn't even scratch him. Before he knew it, he was face down in the dirt, and the man was on his way. But he was determined. So he took a shortcut on the road and confronted the man once more. And the man, seeing him without breaking his stride, whooped him, leaving him again unable to move and unable to confront this man. And Allah blessed the believer to keep on his way, marching towards the tree to chop it down. When he was almost to the tree, maybe a meter or so before it, he hefted his axe, and there came the Iblis. "Hold it! Look, you don't have to keep beating me. Just hear me out. I'm not here to fight with you. I just want you to understand something. Hear me out." So the believer lowered his axe. He said, "I want to make a deal with you. That's why I've been following you. I want to help you." He said, "What's your deal?" He said, "Don't chop down the tree. If you don't chop down this tree, I promise you, every morning without fail, when you wake, there will be 2 dinars under your pillow." Now you need to understand, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, what we're talking about. This is not $2. It's more like maybe $200 of what we would understand. Maybe even $400. So the believer paused and thought about it. Every morning, said, "Without fail, 2 dinars under your pillow. You won't have to do nothing. Under your pillow every morning." Then the shaitan asked him, "Can you imagine a better deal than this? That you don't even have to work or toil? It's right under your pillow." Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He lets us know in His book,
وَعَلَمُوا أَنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةٌ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ أَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ.
And know that your wealth, amwalukum, and your children are a test, fitna, on you. And surely with Allah is a mighty reward, ajrun azim. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He warns us, Ya Bani Adam, O children of Adam, do not let shaitan deceive you. But $400 is a lot of money in any era, especially free. And so the believer lowered his axe and went back home.
أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم.
أستغفر الله إن الله غفور رحيم.
الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه
ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا فمن يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو الخاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, the morning came. And after a long night of sleep, the brother lifted his pillow and found two shiny dinars laying there. And dear Muslim brothers and sisters, you should know, human nature doesn't change. He put those in his pocket and went shopping. And the next morning, after another long night of sleep, lifted his pillow, two shiny dinars. And he felt happy that he struck such a bargain. The third day, lifted his pillow, two shiny dinars. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, you should know the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was reported to have said, according to Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, cursed are those who follow the dinar and the dirham and cherish black striped sheets of clothing. This was something in that day that was valued. If they are given, they are happy, and if they are not given, they are displeased. On the fourth day, anxiously waiting for the day to break, he lifted his pillow, nothing. He thought maybe he had knocked it over in his sleep, so he searched the bed. Said, well, maybe it fell through the cracks. He searched his floors. Nothing. He became enraged. So he grabbed his axe and marched to the tree. Before long, Iblis, not bothering with the disguise this time, set right on the road. Where you going? What you doing with that axe? He said, I'm going to chop down the tree. Please ask him. Now why are you going to go do that? I didn't find my dinars. Iblis said, you can't chop down the tree. The man said, no, watch me. I am going to chop down the tree. And kept marching. Iblis reached out and grabbed him by the throat, lifted him off his feet, and just squeezed. Before long, the man was seconds before death, and he dropped him. He said, do you know who I am? The man could barely gain his breath. He said, no, who are you? He said, I'm Iblis. La'anatullah alayh. Said, the first time you intended to chop down this tree for the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, I have no sultan over those like that, who do good deeds for him alone. With all my power and might that Allah has given me, there was nothing I could do to beat you. But for two dinars, here you are,
on the ground with no protection from me. So Shaitan succeeded in stopping this man from his mission because he had polluted his intention. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, we need to understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's not playing. And that this is how we get caught up. This is how we lose sight of the goal. Now, this is not easy. This is a test. This deen, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. To test, to try, which of you are best indeed. This is what we're here for. And it's important, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, that we understand and appreciate the mission that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us. That each of us has this test. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, in that surely, that there's no doubt, there's no room for question, there's no maybe, there's no footnote or an exception. Surely your wealth and your children are a fitna on you. That's it. And we have to accept that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being the creator of all things, that's it. He made it so. We have the trial of having to deal with it. So that's our individual situation. And he mentioned the amwal, the money first here. Even in other ayahs, amwalukum wa awladukum. In other ayahs, the fitna or the test, the wealth comes first. And that is usually the trial of men. That is usually our bailiwick of a test. Money. And why? Because you better not try to do anything as far as of note in this world without having some type of wealth behind you. That's just our test. That's the nature of this life. But what's critical here is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He let us know in the hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when He said, and He mentioned the man who raises his hands to Allah saying, my Lord, my Lord, and he goes down the list, but his food is haram, his drink is haram, his clothes are haram, and his business is haram. And he asked the rhetorical question, so how can he be answered? Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, as the maintainers of our family, we have the intent to do good. It is a good thing to want to obtain a legitimate, halal way of income in order to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, feed your family, take care of yourself, and build strong communities. There's nothing wrong with that. Not one thing. This is halal and it is encouraged. But the shaitan steps in. So you have a halal business.
You're selling hamburgers, halal hamburgers, and the cost of meat starts going up. You're selling halal chicken wings, and the cost of halal chicken wings start going up. And the shaitan step in. You know, Dominic's got a sale. Who would know? You have a restaurant, a halal restaurant, and fewer customers come in. And you're getting more and more in debt. This is the imtihan, the test. And the shaitan steps in. Oh, you don't have to sell liquor. Just let them come and drink it in your place. BYOB, bring your own bottle. Put that on the door. It'll be all right. And thus, your food becomes haram. Your drink becomes haram. Your clothes become haram. Because they're all financed from the haram business. See, the shaitan, he's not going to come marching in here, you know, 20 people deep, guns, oh, y'all are all Muslims, kill it. That's not his way. It has never been his way. Because when you face Muslims on their territory and they have faith, nothing beats them. Period. But when you pollute that faith, you make them love this dunya more than they love the deen. You make them compromise a little bit here, a little bit there. Then he's then polluted, and therefore it's no longer tayyib. And Allah doesn't accept it. So here it is, Black Friday. And every business got a Christmas tree. You see my point, dear Muslim brothers and sisters? We will never prosper doing a deal with the devil. You do never, never will you ever make the devil dance. He makes you dance. He'll pick the tune, everything. This is our challenge. This is our test. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, the same applies to this masjid. And the same applies to any endeavor for the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't mix this. This is why it's a sacrifice. This is why the masjid fits squarely within those categories for the zakah and sadaqah, for the purification. We don't have the time to go into great detail. But I remind you, as I remind myself, about how purification started. When it started with Ibrahim alayhi salam, started with Adam alayhi salam. When it started with the sacrifice. That the way to sacrifice was to make it clear this is for Allah. You burned it. All. Not any part of it was kept for you. It was burned completely. So that it was clear, nothing of this remains for me to try to skip or use for another agenda. Okay, I keep this, I chop off the head and give the rest, you know. Nope. Everything was for Allah. Burn it up. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not change. So instead of making that, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, خَلَقَكُمْ مِنْ تُرَابٍ وَمِنْ نُطْفَةٍ. First, he created us from dirt, okay, that's the beginning. Now, this is another method, from the sperm clot, sperm drop, مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ, small thing. Same thing with the zakah. Okay, now, we're not burning it, but the way that we will burn it, we'll burn it in the stomach of the poor. That I will give it and it will be devoured by them. Or I give it fees to be the last. That it's gone. I'm not getting a benefit from it. That I'm sure that there is no way for you to see that this is something that I have an ulterior motive from benefiting from the zakah. The same with the masjid. It is a perpetual pour. A perpetual cauldron for the burning of the sin. Zakah yuzakki, it purifies. And so that is why it needs to be pure. Ain't no business in here. Ain't no mixing of agendas in here. It needs to be pure because as soon as you add masjid and it's not accepted. As soon as it is something other than those three things, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, Salah, remembering Allah and teaching the deen. Anything else, then it has been defiled. It is no longer pure. This, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, this is what we have to learn. This society, they mix everything. Everything is mixed up. And they are not who we follow when it comes to this deen. We don't follow their millah when it comes to fundraising. We don't follow their millah when it comes to administrating our places of worship or our schools. They are not our examples. And so, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, no disrespect to any organization, but I must say that if I have to bait you with a plate of food in order for you to give to the cause of Allah, we've both been cheating. It should be enough. A steak and some fries is better than Jannah? Look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, that he bought your wealth and your souls in return for Jannah. I can't beat that on any day. I cannot give you a better incentive. And if it's a Muslim, that's not enough incentive for you. Jannah, there's nothing else to compare. If it's not enough incentive for you that Allah, oh Allah, I'm giving this to you for your face, I don't want to see any part of it in this dunya. I want when I meet you, I'm good. We good, Allah? Yeah, we good. Alhamdulillah. Jannah. That's what we want. That's what we're buying. That's what we're investing in. And if we can't see that, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, then obviously there is not mukhlisa lahuddin. It's not pure faith. We've been victimized by our own love for this dunya. So I remind you, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, as I remind myself, we have the best opportunity to establish something together. Here. To keep it pure. To keep it clean. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Purely for Him. Many of us here come from different communities, and may Allah bless those communities. May Allah increase your wealth and increase their health in that community so that it survives. But by us being here, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, merely by coming through that door, we have an obligation to support this house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the rudest, crudest of manners to come to a place that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought about for His worship, a pure house. and not to do everything that we can if we're going to come to support it. That is the worst of manners. So I remind you, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, as I remind myself, watch the quality of your intention. Be careful. Don't let the shaitan come around. Be on lookout. When you be on the, wallahi al-azim, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, the more you become accustomed to doing good deeds, the more your ear will pick up the whisper of the shaitan. Because he's right there. As soon as you say, well, inshallah, I'm going to do, as the next, without a pause, is his suggestion. So you, if you not like lifting weights, if you don't exercise that muscle of faith and being clear on your intention, then you will always have mixed deeds. And those are missed deeds. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from the whisper of the shaitan. Purify our intentions. Accept our good deeds. Multiply them. And bless us bi'idhnillah ta'ala to meet him without any question on the Day of Judgment. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم استغفر الله إن الله غفور رحيم ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب ربنا أفرج علينا صبرا وتوفنا من المسلمين ربنا أفرج علينا صبرا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون وأقيموا الصلاة إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر ولذكر الله أكبر.